Welcome, and you're listening to Geekologist Radio, a division of the Ninja Pancake family of podcasts. Hey, it's Brandon, and welcome to Geekologist Radio, where we're going to take you through our queue and ride the hype train into the future. We got a really large cast tonight. It's kind of a little bit different from what we've been doing here the last couple weeks, but it's good to have everybody back. Well, almost everybody, Cajun. So first up, we have Mr. Damian Nash.
What's going on? I'm pulling a Fouts right now, and I'm still in uniform.
Next up, we have Silver.
What's up?
And the elusive Mr. Two Wolves.
I wish Cajun was here. He'd understand this, but praise be.
Finally, we have returning again, Mr. Nick.
Thank you. I'm wearing my Blazer shirt because today's the preseason game, so I'm missing that right now, but go Blazers.
So any errors and omissions? No? Maybe? Yes? No? No. Okay. Let's get into in our queue. All right. So first up, we got Silver going to talk to us about The Good Doctor.
Oh, yes. Mr. Freddie Highmore has went from Norman Bates to an autistic savant surgeon. Thought that was kind of an interesting change, but the trailers and commercials certainly caught my attention. So I pulled up the two episodes that are currently out as of this recording. Episode 3 will be out Monday. I pulled them up on Hulu, and I fell in love within the first 15 minutes. It's just, it's serious, but it's funny. It's really captivating, and I think it really represents both savant syndrome and autism really, really well.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job. I watched the first episode with my wife. Actually, we're going to watch the second episode tomorrow night, and the only criticism that I have about the show is whenever they go and cut to the scene where he has to think about what's going on and where his mind is going, it's like he stares off into space for a second, and they do this whole thing off to the side, and I wish they would do something else with that. Other than that, like, I thought the show in its entirety was really well done. They spoke to the fact that why can't everybody be included, which I thought was a really great theme and message for the first episode. And I just feel like it's going to be more like a, almost like a House meets Doogie Howser type thing. Do you know what I mean?
That's the first thing that I thought. Isn't it done by the same people who did House?
It has a House feel to it. In fact, it has one of the characters from House in it. So there are similarities as far as just the way it's cut. And some of the dialogue seemed very similar to House. But I liked it.
Not a spinoff?
No. This is a completely different hospital and something completely different. Like I said, my only critique was the way that scenes were cut. Because every time they went to the part where he had to think about where in the body things were, it's like he just stared off into space for like 30 seconds while they did all that stuff. And it just had a really weird vibe to it. I wish they would have just cut straight to that.
On that note, the second episode is actually better than the first.
Awesome. That's something to look forward to.
So it's got some more flow to it. It definitely adds a little bit more comedy. You know, he's a really funny character. I really enjoy him. And Freddie Highmore is an amazing actor. You know, we've seen him in Bates Motel, saw him as a kid.
Spiderwick Chronicles.
Yep, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, all that fun stuff. But what I thought was really interesting is he's actually the producer of the show as well.
Wow,
for as young as he is,
Yeah,
I was like, wow. And so I was really impressed with the budget and really the way that they express everything.
A show like that has to really fight to get through, too, because there's so many dramas that are similar in the fact that it's just another medical drama or another police drama or another lawyer drama. So you really have to do something different. The fact that they're choosing somebody that's on the spectrum, I think, causes it to stand out. Now they have a responsibility in order to continue that and be very true to what's going on and how things go on, because if they don't and they misstep, they're definitely going to get called out immediately by a lot of parents by the community of people who are looking up to this now as a way to represent, you know, a community that's not represented very well.
Right. It is based on a Korean drama, actually.
Oh, crazy. I didn't know that.
A Korean drama about somebody on the spectrum, or is it just like loosely based on that and they happen to add that in?
It's the same thing. It's a savant doctor. If you watch the opening credits, it says that it's based on a Korean drama, and which I thought was funny because on Facebook, every time the trailers or something would pop up, people would be like, oh, this is just a ripoff of this Korean show. And turns out that it's purposefully done that way, kind of like, you know, The American Office.
Very, very cool. Damien, you're going to talk about a movie. I'm not going to spoil what it is.
I actually finally got a chance to watch Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
All right, so that's enough of that. Let's keep on moving on.
Apparently, they don't
because a dead man will tell no tales about this film because it was horrible.
I don't believe any living man has ever actually talked about the movie. So,
see, I watched it and I wasn't initially during the first.
Did you fall asleep during it?
No, I didn't fall asleep during this. It wasn't an Assassin's Creed moment.
If your critique is it wasn't terrible, that's not a good sign.
No, well, the original, my original critique was, oh man, I'm not gonna like this. But the tail end, like
then the last came out.
Well, no, the last half has a couple twists that they throw in that changed my view of it, and then I was like, okay, I did feel that it was a lot of the same. With, oh, these characters can't go on land. I'm like, I've seen this before. I'm like, this was what Davy Jones couldn't go on land. You know?
Did they throw another baddie? They threw another baddie in there, didn't they? Didn't they throw another bad guy in there?
Yeah. It was, And now Salazar, the thing is, every time I see him now, because he's the new Frankenstein, that's all I saw. As Salazar, all I could see is Frankenstein the entire time.
They've got like a Pirates Legion of Doom now, don't they?
Pretty much.
I mean, they just keep adding more bad guys to the thing. It's like old Batman where they had to have like four bad guys to fight one Johnny Depp. Like, it's crazy.
Now, Johnny Depp actually was not my favorite at all in this. My favorite was Captain Barbossa. And the more I think about it, throughout the series, Captain Barbossa has been more my favorite in general. I've liked his character more. Now, Will Turner's son, or his the actor that plays that, I liked him a lot from Gods of Egypt. His role is not as awesome as Gods of Egypt was for him, but you know he did all right with what he was given. I could see him. He's a lot like, you know, his dad's character was, Orlando Bloom's character was in the first one. And so it felt like I've seen this before, but then you start seeing what the actual film's about. And it's actually, this one is actually more about Barbossa and Barbossa's family. And it ties everything up really nicely.
Does it tie it up so there's not another movie?
It actually, the way that it ties it up, it could be that way. Or there's like they reference Peter Pan.
They reference Peter. Listen, if they effing bring Peter Pan into this,
no. As in, they reference, as in that, because there's the reference of it being passed on basically to Orlando Bloom, mm-hmm. and his son, and they're going off and doing their own thing, and then Johnny Depp's Jack Sparrow and his crew.
Oh, so they're gonna do like a Fast Tokyo Drift, and they're gonna end up having a separate film. So why don't they just call it Pirates instead of Pirates of the Caribbean, just like they called Fast and the Furious Fast?
Because they're all in the Caribbean.
Just Fast. So Pirates 8.
And there's not enough rum.
Oh my God.
Johnny Depp's character rum in the world for me to watch another one. References going into the following the stars, past the horizon, and
Fear and Loathing in Neverland.
Oh, that I would go see.
That's
that
awesome.
I would go see. Silver.
Now, I saw it in theaters, and it might just be my, you know, natural female Disney bias, but I loved the entire film. Like, I thought it was great. But you know, Disney bias, Johnny Depp bias.
I really enjoyed Barbossa's character, and I felt that the Johnny Depp scenes, like, I feel like they can't beat the sword fighting scene on the watermill. You know, when that whole scene, that to me is like one of the best like action scenes of just like in film for sword fighting. So it felt more like they were trying to recapture that.
The wire work and the choreograph on that was so horrible that it was blatantly obvious. It didn't look at all realistic or anything.
Are you talking about in the
wire wheel? No, the wheel.
I don't want to be down on the movie.
I was a special sword fighter for 8 years, and I still think it was a cool scene.
It's not that I'm down on Pirates. It's just, it's like beating a dead horse. Like, there's only so much you can get out of it. You know what I mean? It's not a Fast and the Furious. Fast and the Furious changed. And I hate to, like, I'm just saying Fast and the Furious because it's something that's gone on for about as long as Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah, right? Similar. But they had to divert and go from like a car movie to an action movie, right? Like this has no place to go. They just keep adding more bad guys and it's like, all right, and I don't care about Johnny Depp's kids or Will's kids or Barbossa's kid. It's like it's done. Like either reinvent it or choose something.
The way that they chose to kind of go about this, dealing with it as, I mean, part of it goes into like a post-traumatic stress disorder kind of thing with what they did with Will Turner. Mm-hmm. They really actually could use this as a way to reinvent the series focused on him. And Orlando Bloom doesn't have anything going on right now. There's no more Harry Potter movie. Not Harry Potter. Lord of the Rings. Wow. Lord of the Rings.
Well, I mean, the movie's been out for so long that he had an opportunity to turn them down, not be in a few films, then not have anything else going on, then rejoin the film again. It's like, man, I think that's the part that it just, I don't know. Johnny Depp is the glue that holds it together. If that guy isn't in the movies, nobody cares.
Disney's Descendants, yeah, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And if he's your star actor and all the things that come out about him this year with his personal problems, what's his motivation to be into these movies anymore besides just making money? Yep.
All right. I think we've talked way too long about a really okay movie.
And that's giving it a little too much credit. So next up we have Bob's Burger from Silver.
Well, yeah, the best show like ever. Come on. Bob's Burgers, Hell's Kitchen, those are my jams. The new season of Bob's Burgers premiered this weekend. I want to say it is seven or eight. Please correct me if I am wrong on that. I was very, very sick when I watched it. You can still kind of... It's hanging on. And Family Guy premiered with its 16th season, as well as The Simpsons premiered with its 29th season, but... not a very good episode, so we'll keep that out. But Bob's Burgers was an interesting episode because, like, you know, I've seen the entire series probably 5 or 6 times by now. But this one, instead of its usual animation style, each scene was a different art style. So it was very visually captivating, probably the best word I can come up with. It was very interesting, like usual funny story, the fish odors were involved, blah blah blah, but the animation style was just so, because we thought it was just going to be the opening started and it went through all these art different art styles and we're like, oh cool, funky opening like The Simpsons, or you know, and the entire episode ended up being like that and it was really cool. Like one scene was like an anime style, one scene was like a chalk style, like it was really, really cool. And so it was like almost like it was done by guest animators. It was really interesting. And then, of course, Family Guy popped in with its usual nonsensical hilarity, but they were actually taking a stab at the Emmys, so that was a fun one.
Bob's Burger, this is season 8, Silver.
Is it season 8? Thank you.
And it looks like I couldn't find anything about that. I haven't checked it out yet, but it is my favorite animated TV show out there. It's my number one.
Same. My husband and I, like, we just sit and rewatch the series over and over, and very excited to hear that Fox is working on a feature film for slated for summer of 2020. With as much as I like The Simpsons movie, I'm excited.
Y'all have heard of a show called Rick and Morty, right?
Oh, yeah. Rick and Morty's great.
We were talking about number one animated, and I'm like, whoa, Rick and Morty!
No, Bob's Burgers still beats Rick and Morty.
For you? Oh, that's awesome.
I agree.
Really?
Yeah, I agree. Bob's Burgers. I started watching Rick and Morty. I'm still Bob's Burgers all the way.
Yeah, like I love Rick and Morty, but my God, Bob's Burgers. I can watch the same episodes over and over, and my husband and I just
Rugrats.
Sit and...
Come on, guys.
Okay, that too. Okay, adult animated.
I agree with you, Silver, though. Bob's Burgers is completely rewatchable. When it was on Netflix, I think I watched it 2 or 3 times just as I'm going to sleep or, you know, just kind of, you know, cooking or something like that, put it in the kitchen. I love that show.
Oh, yeah. It's on Hulu, and they just added the last season, season 7. And so, yeah, we've been rewatching it yet again. So I have high hopes for season 8. Thank you for clarifying that.
So I have an error and omission from previous episodes. I said screw Black Mirror. I've actually watched Black Mirror except for the first episode again because I'm not going to watch that freaking pig. Anyways.
I heard about that first episode.
Yeah. No, screw that episode. That's all I'm going to say.
That's what I was told. I was told to skip episode one.
Skip episode one. Yeah. I'm about halfway through the third season now, and it got a lot better. It's, you know, it's different. Every episode's different, that type of series, but it's not as bad as I thought it was initially was going to be.
It reminds me, I did start a new series recently. That is not all I've watched.
Please tell me it's Ripper Street.
No.
You said Stripper Street?
Ripper.
Oh, okay.
You've just crushed his dreams.
Damien lives on Stripper Street.
That used to be my business.
Sounds like a
new show. That definitely sounded like a new Netflix show.
We hit a streak of really, really bad horror films, so we said screw this and finally started American Horror Story.
Nice.
We are a couple episodes into Freak Show, so I will update you guys on that as soon as I get caught up and on to Cult, which is the current season.
So typically Hype Train and InterQ, the Hype Train talks about things that are coming up. I'm going to talk about something that's happening right now. The fact that Netflix is going to be charging another additional dollar, again, 2 years straight, where they keep adding more money to the cost of Netflix. I took a bunch of crap on Twitter when I posted this. It's like, it's a dollar. I said, well, it was just a dollar last year, and now it's another dollar this year, and then it's another dollar next year. And we talked about this, if you recall, about a month and a half ago, that Netflix was spending out the rear end on a lot of shows and overpaying for IP to the point where they were in the red on a lot of stuff. Yeah, they were in the hole. And in order to make up for that and to have all this content, the trickle-down effect, it's coming down to their customers. And their excuse is, well, we're not charging you quite as much as HBO for the amount of content that you're receiving and all the stuff with Stranger Things and all these, you know, all these really good shows, which, again, Netflix, I'm probably the loudest speaker about Netflix where I think it's like it's such an amazing network. But still, the trickle-down effect comes to people having to pay more money for this.
Well, yeah, because it's like I'm paying I pay for the four screens and 4K, so that's instantly $13.99.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Now you're grandfathered in.
I've got the same type of account as Damien, and I don't know. I spend more money for Hulu Plus without commercials, so it doesn't really affect me. So, but I also subscribe to Funimation and Crunchyroll as well. So,
but Amazon Prime. Do you have regular cable or not?
I do actually.
Okay.
I have cable on demand, DVR. I'm at home 24/7. I gotta watch something while I'm working.
Yeah, the only thing I have is Netflix and Hulu. Screw the rest of it. That's what I have a podcast co-host for. Just saying.
I have the family plan too, but when I saw this news come out, I was thinking to myself, how much until we say we can't do it anymore are you guys willing to pay $19.99 a month? Because Netflix is shilling out a ton of money, and if people don't think that's not going to trickle down, like you're saying, it is. So how much are we willing to pay until we say, no, I can't pay anymore?
I would definitely pay $20 a month.
Sure.
Me too.
The thing is HBO has been at $15.99 forever, right? And they spend way more than Netflix does on primetime television between the movies that they get and on top of the new programming that they have. So I don't understand. Like, if Netflix is going that route, just hit me right now in the face with the $15.99 and say, listen, that's it for a while. Like, that's all we're expecting. We're gonna be a premium channel just like HBO. We're going to charge this amount of money, and we're not going any higher for a while.
HBO included with my cable.
See, it is included with the cable, but some people, if you don't, like Brandon, in Brandon's case, if he wants HBO and he doesn't know somebody who has HBO, you have to pay you're paying $15.99 a month to carry it on iTunes or Android or Amazon or however else you're getting it.
That's why they don't have to raise their prices, though, is because of the cable providers that include that in part of it. Those cable providers still have to pay HBO for the account.
Sure.
So that is why they're able to keep their costs lower, but still be able to produce the much higher rated, much higher quality series.
But Netflix has a combo with Comcast right now where you can, like, when you get, you can run it right off of Comcast. So people who are Comcast providers can run Netflix straight through Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do.
So if you don't have cable, how much is it for just an HBO Go streaming service?
$14.99.
Yeah, $15. So, yeah, I agree with you. Why doesn't Netflix just come out and say, okay, we're going $14.99. They're putting out the same quality content as HBO, in my eyes. Why don't they just come out and say $14.99 and that's it, instead of just raising it a dollar every year? I agree with this.
Yeah, just
the quality of the content is not on the same level, in my opinion, but the quantity that Netflix has over what HBO has far surpasses the quality, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that, Brandon. No, yeah, I agree with that. You're right. Because, I mean, the quality of, like, Game of Thrones.
Westworld, or Game of Thrones, you know, series like that.
Boardwalk Empire.
All of those. Totally different level than what Defenders, you know, and all these other series are that Netflix has rights, has...
Netflix is paying for IP.
Yeah.
They're paying for IP, right, is what they're doing. They're not creating their own stuff. Yeah. They're paying for other people's stuff, and so they can produce it. So the problem is we're paying for the fact that they need to pay for that in order to make quality content.
Yeah, no, I would never put Defenders on the quality of anything on HBO.
I just admit.
No.
Yeah. Defenders to me looks like it was shot in a shoebox.
There's a ton of stuff on Netflix. You like Netflix. I mean, there's a ton of stuff on Netflix. Right. It's really good stuff. I mean, really good stuff. And there's a ton of shows. I mean, Netflix has that. I just watched it. The mockumentary. The one with the
American Vandal.
Good stuff. Like, good quality stuff.
Fantastic.
That would fall to the wayside on HBO. HBO would never do something like that because it's too extreme for HBO. Like, it's too out there. They do stuff that's... They do violent content and R content, but it's in a box. It's not on the outskirts that Netflix is willing to reach for.
Wet Hot American Summer, all those.
Yeah.
The thing that Netflix has over HBO is, like, yeah, HBO does have really good quality shows, but myself personally, I only watch, like, one show on HBO. And Netflix, it's not just their IPs. You know, they've got recent films, they have children's movies, they've got TV shows, stuff. You know, I mean, where else am I going to watch The Office? You know,
Sesame Street.
Sure.
Yeah, there you go. So it's like
Magic School Bus.
Big Mouth.
A lot of it is the amount of outside content that they have. It's cheaper for me to pay for Netflix and wait a couple months than it is to go buy a DVD every few weeks, or every week, or. And on top of that, people will pay just for series like Stranger Things, Series of Unfortunate Events, you know, etc.
Another point, too, is the comedy specials. I know Seinfeld just got released, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, I believe, signed a big deal with. And HBO and Showtime are not really putting out those comedy specials anymore. So comedy fans, this is the way to go now to, you know, see your favorite comedy.
But when you think
my mom uses Netflix just for comedy specials.
Yeah. When you think of Netflix, you think of Defenders and Punisher and Daredevil. And if you think of 13 Reasons Why, that was a bought book. They had to pay for that. They had to pay for the IP in order to create it. So it's not a brand new thing, you know.
Same with the Series of Unfortunate Events.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a book series.
So I just brought it up because it was a dollar and everybody thinks like it's a buck. But a buck turns to 15 million viewers or 13 million viewers is now a large chunk of change. And last year it happened, and this year it happened, and now it sounds like a pattern to me. So maybe next year it's going to happen, and all of a sudden I'm going to be paying $11.99, or now it's $12.99. Just make it a price and let it be there for a while. They were so steadfast on saying, hey, we raised it a dollar. We're so sorry. It's been forever since we raised it, and now they're doing it every year.
Okay, but how often do cable companies do the same thing? But it doesn't go up by a dollar. It goes up by $10, or your special trial time is now over, so we're gonna go ahead and jack it up to the quote unquote normal rated price, which is usually 2 to 3 times higher what you've been paying for the last year.
This happened to me around Christmas. Our trial or contract or whatever was up with Xfinity, and all of a sudden we're paying $300 for cable and internet, and we're like, whoa, until we went in and re-signed a contract with them to knock it back down to the $200 we were paying.
So Comcast, on the same note, Silver, just came out, I think it was a month and a half ago, Xfinity, Comcast, where I was renting a modem for them. I don't anymore, but they raised their modem price for rentals, and people probably wouldn't notice that. But they raise it each month by $1 or $2. I can't quite remember. And that's on top of your bill already. So, you know.
The thing that...
I mean, that hurts there too.
Brandon, the difference between Comcast or Time Warner or any of those companies is you can go in and renegotiate your contract at any given point.
Right.
Like, I'm on a two-year bill, but I can go in at any point with Comcast and renegotiate if there's a better price. I can't renegotiate Netflix's price. That's it. What they tell me it is what it is.
I can go renegotiate come spring.
Yep. So you can renegotiate at any time. I can't. And so whatever the price is, that's the price, and that's the frustrating part. You're just telling me that's what it is, or I don't get to watch it. The only benefit that you have with Netflix, Hulu, and the other stuff is the family share plan. And, man, if you're paying for it and you got three other people that are willing to chip in, then you have three people paying one price for it. And that's legal. That's not against – that. You're not even cheating the system on that. I could be part of your family share. You could be part of my family share. Anybody can be.
Yeah, there's five so people on ours. $14
goes straight down to $7.
Yep.
Instantly, which is two people.
Which is two people. But you have to know people that are interested in it and, like, who's going to do it. Do you have friends? Is somebody already paying for it? It sounds really easy, but if you break it down and you're trying to find people to do it, it might become hard. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's just not – with cable, it's much easier. I just call them up on the phone and say, hey, I'm not unhappy. Find me a better package.
Now, that Netflix idea does work for us. It's my parents, myself, my husband, and my sister. The three of us pay for the family plan, four screens, 4K. It's not a big deal. Like I said, I pay like three times as much for my Hulu. And that's just because I watch a lot of MasterChef kind of stuff and anime.
So I know that I skipped this, and now we'll skip back to this. We're going to talk about Big Mouth.
Has anybody else watched Big Mouth?
I'm like halfway through.
Not me.
You're halfway through?
Yeah.
So Big Mouth is, I've tried to look up the creators, and which I did. It's created by a lot of people, a lot of different writers for each episode. Nick Kroll wrote three. John Mulaney was the producer on some. I mean, the voice actors on this is star-studded. There's too many names to even try to go through. But it's basically 10 episodes about middle school kids going through puberty in the most awkwardly funny way possible. I really did like this. I watched the whole series, and I kind of went back and watched a couple of episodes. I think I fell asleep through because I was missing some stuff. But it's really well written, and that's always number one for me. Is the writing good? Because then the show's going to be good. So I really did enjoy it, and Nick Kroll and John Mulaney are absolutely fantastic on it. And Jason Mantzoukas, who they were also on what was the fantasy football show they did?
Oh, The League.
Forget about that. The League, yeah. So Jason Mantzoukas and Nick Kroll were both on that show. John Mulaney and Nick Kroll team up several different times for different projects. I mean, there's even a point in episode 3, I believe, where Kristen Wiig is the voice of one of the characters' vagina.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which was absolutely hilarious. And they have these hormone monsters that make different characters do different things, but it's like they're doing it, but in real life they're actually doing it. There's one scene where the hormone monster punched a hole through the wall at crotch level, and he's like, oh, look, I want you to meet my new girlfriend, and drew a little girl around it and put tape around the hole and all this, but it was really the kid doing it, you know. So it's absolutely hilarious. Everybody should check it out.
What network is this on?
Netflix.
Oh, sorry, it's Netflix.
Netflix,
of course. I've been on Hulu lately, so.
Yeah, you would like it, Silver. I think if you like Bob's Burgers and some of the awkward stuff in that, this is very awkward. The only thing that got me is because I have kids in middle school that I guess I'm a little bit older now. I can't remember exactly when I went through puberty, but they're talking about seventh graders and sex, and my son's in eighth grade, and I don't even want him thinking about that. So that was the only thing I thought maybe they should have done, like, ninth and tenth grade, but maybe if my kid was in ninth and tenth grade, I'd feel the same way. So I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's still
my daughter
hilarious.
Is a junior in high school, so no, it's still not okay.
I have no children.
That's
so,
the thing. So now we have kids.
You have graduated senior. So
my son's in college.
Yeah, he's college. And then my oldest is in high school now, and so he watched the first episode. He's like, oh man, he's like, it's like they filmed what we went through, and I'm like, oh man.
and they make references that they actually stop and they break the fourth wall and they look right at the camera and they go, I don't think we could do this. Well, unless it's animated, we can, you know. So
I love fourth wall breaking.
They point out the fact that they point out the fact that it's not safe for work or home or in front of your kid. It's not safe for anybody. Actually, you don't want to be caught watching it around anybody else because it's, you know.
Oh, I have no kids and my husband's as twisted as I am, so it's perfect.
Oh, then you'll love it.
I am going to give a quick... I'm going to do a quick shameless plug and talk about another show that I watched really, really quickly. And it was season 2, the first episode of This Is Us. Shameless plug because my brother is an executive producer on the show. And it rated the number one drama in the last 5 years, the highest rating that they've ever received. So the show is a tearjerker. It is insane. The last two episodes, the last episode just came out yesterday. It is insane how well the show is. It's Emmy winning at this point now. It's won two Emmys, which is fantastic. And I cannot speak enough. Like, every episode is enough to pull you in, and the drama in it is real life, which I think is even better than a lot of the shows that I've seen on television. That's my quick and shameless plug on the show. I watch it every week, not only because my brother works on it, but also because I just think it's an amazing show.
I'll just put on top of that, Chris, congratulations for one, for your brother. Two, my wife pulled me into season two, episode one, and now I'm hooked. Now I have to go back and watch season one. It is a fantastic written show.
It's based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which I'm from Erie. It's like an hour and a half to 2 hour shot away, so it feels like home. So when I'm watching it,
it's filmed on Universal Studios.
It is, they filmed some episodes that I can't. There's some things that are. It's a Pittsburgh based show.
Okay. Yeah, because like,
I can't say. Let's just say that it's a Pittsburgh based show.
We went to the back lot. We were down there for Halloween and we're going through the back lot. They pointed out, they're like, okay, we got to be quiet because they were in the middle of filming when we were down there, which was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really good show. And again, I just want to do a quick shameless plug. So I think that's all that we have for in our queue. What's the plans for covering anything next week? I know Walking Dead is still a week and a half to 2 weeks away, which
Cult of Chucky. I'm going to be watching the Cult of Chucky. And what's cool about this is that it has the original, brings back the original kid actor from Chucky into this new version. And the last one that they had out was actually surprisingly really good. So it's campy, but it's good. The other one I'm going to be picking up is I'm going to be watching, it's a Russian film called Vamps 2017, or made in 2017. The reason they had to put that number on it is because Vamps is also a comedy that was filmed here. So, but this one is actually very similar to another Russian film, which is both Day Watch and Night Watch, which were fantastic. And we were supposed to get the third in the trilogy to be actually English spoken, but it hasn't ever been made. So, and then I'm going to get caught up on The Gifted and Inhumans.
Damien, are you going to watch House's October Built 2?
Maybe.
Inhumans, don't watch it.
I'm still going to.
I've watched the first two episodes. Nope, don't.
I'm still going to.
I can't. That's a whole hell of a lot of nopes.
I got six days. Yeah.
Nope.
I couldn't get into the trailer. Watch Daredevil. Gifted, I do want to check out Gifted. That looks pretty good.
Yeah, wait, Gifted. Gifted's the two kids, right? Like the one that's what we're talking about. We talked about that, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and Gifted takes place. They have said Gifted takes place in the Fox's cinematic universe for Marvel.
Yeah. Don't watch Inhumans.
I'm still gonna watch it.
It's bad.
Listen, this guy just watched Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, he doesn't care.
Hey.
So let's go ahead and move on into the hype train.
Damien, you're going to talk about Future Man?
Okay, so Future Man it's like I grew up watching The Last Starfighter, okay? And I loved it. This Future Man is totally rips the story of The Last Starfighter, and it knows that it's ripping the story of Last Starfighter and Time Cop and things, and it calls itself out on everything. It stars Josh Hutcherson as Josh Future Man, a janitor by day and gamer by night that is recruited by mysterious visitors to travel through time to prevent the extinction of humanity. Basically what happens is he keeps going back and forth because there is a doctor who finds the cure for herpes. And the cure for your herpes.
The doctor that has herpes.
He has herpes. And so he studies to find the cure for herpes. And when he finds the cure for herpes, it eradicates humanity. So they have to go back in time. They have to basically go back in time to different times of this doctor's life because Josh Hutcherson doesn't want to kill him. And so he goes back in time at different things and cock blocks him so that he doesn't get herpes. Nick?
Yeah, so Josh doesn't want to kill him, but the people that come back from the future, they ask him, Yeah, they ask him. They're like, "Well, is a baby hard to kill?" And they're like, "No, it's soft and weak." He's like, "Good, good kill, easy kill. Let's do it."
And so as they go through the different time frames, they're all they have to dress, you know, like the time frames they go back to, and you know, he doesn't really get into it as much, but his two teammates. Like when they go to the '80s, one of the gunmen's like, "I love the '80s," and he's got like the Flock of Seagulls hair and everything. So it looks like it's going to be great humor, really a decent, really decent special effects, and it looks like a lot of fun because it knows not to take itself serious, and it knows to have just fun with everything. And so I'm really excited about this. It comes out November 14th.
Two things. First, I know a couple guys that are janitor by day, gamer by night. They're not that cool. Second, Josh Hutcherson is fantastic. So I this is the kind of series I would watch just because I think he's a great actor with a good sense of humor.
This really appeals to that. Like, he does even pulled in a couple jokes that were from his Brendan Fraser Journey to the Center of the Earth, which
Those were good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed those too. They were fun. You know, they're fun family features. And this one doesn't look like it's going to be a family feature, but it definitely has got the comedy there.
Yeah, it's definitely like a comedy. There's some campy stuff in it that I saw in the trailer, but I'm going to check it out too.
That laser gun, though, the first laser gun they give him, which is a total ripoff of one of the laser guns from Call of Duty Zombies. As soon as they hand it to him, I'm like, I've seen this before. And then sure enough, it fires off and he's like, whoa. And so they make the game references too, which is really cool.
Right up our alley.
Yeah, I thought the trailer was well put together. It sold me.
Now, I got something else to talk about. Rush Hour 4. Now, my grandmother absolutely adores Jackie Chan, and one of her favorite movie series, if it's not James Bond, is the Rush Hour series. Brandon.
When are we going to get new material and not the same thing over and over again? I mean, no, like everything we talked about last week, it's reboot, 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 reboot.
This is a reboot,
though.
This
is another reboot.
This is not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. It's not a reboot.
When was the last one made?
Quite a while ago, but this is...
When was the last one made?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Is Chris Tucker in this
Yes.
So when's the last thing Chris Tucker was in?
Exactly. It was The Silver Linings Notebook. Aha!
Oh, yeah, was he in that?
It's he got out of jail. His career.
Jackie Chan is 100.
He's 100. Okay, so the legendary kung fu actor Jackie Chan recently made a visit to the Bay Area with a pit stop at Google in the Mountain View. Followed by San Francisco Chronicle. While at the San Francisco Chronicle, Chan did a brief live Facebook video interview with Peter Hartlub, a Chronicle pop culture critic. First off, he was asked by a fan if Rush Hour was going to come, or if there's going to be a new one. And he actually definitively said that there is going to be a new one with him and Chris Tucker, and that... Actually, they are meeting with the director, and they're looking to this week.
Hell yeah, there is. They both need a paycheck.
Well, Jackie Chan does have another movie that's coming out.
And it looks amazing.
It looks really amazing, yes.
It really does look good. But my upset, the reason I'm upset with this is because the first one was really good. Second one was really good. Third one started going downhill. The fourth one is just a shit show of them trying to regain another career in their later years.
Then there's people like my husband who will go see it just because it's Jackie Chan.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm going to go see it. But I'm ready for new material and not reboots.
You're not going to go see this in a theater, right? You're like going to wait for this to come out on whatever.
I'm going to get my grandma opening weekend.
Oh, you're a good grandson. I'm a big Jackie Chan fan, so I will go see it, but I won't go see it in the theater. I mean, I love Chris Tucker, too, but...
I usually just still see it at the Mount Hood Theater.
Double feature. Then you're talking about, like, $4.
And then, next up, Chris, you want to talk about this one, and I'll join in on it with you?
Honestly, I don't really know much about it. I just saw the preview for Dark on Netflix, and I was super hyped about it to the point where I like posted it immediately. Like the minute I saw it, I'm like,
"You and I both did."
Yeah, because it was just like a creepy. It just had a weird, like a really weird mystery vibe to it, and so I was really excited about it. And I thought, wow, this would be perfect for us to have a discussion about, especially when you can catch like a full series. For us, we can burn through it and then talk about it. So
yeah, because it's like equal parts it to like it's it almost like A Wrinkle in Time with some of the aspects of it, and it, which is actually interesting because this is what they compared it to, was it Wrinkle in Time and Stranger Things.
And with Stranger Things coming out here in October, people will already be in that type of mood because it'll be heading into November. So if you follow it up with something in December when people are really itching to try to watch something, specifically because there's a lull in network television, you can really hit with something else. And this has that really mysterious kind of spook vibe. And that's something that I would dig, especially if it's in December. You're in the house at that point. Like, what are you going to do? Like, let's just blaze through a series.
I got 20 days off in December, so I definitely am looking forward to that. Brandon?
So next up, we have another reboot. I didn't even know. Hang on. Just as clarity, I did not know this was on the notes because I didn't actually look this far down yet when I was going off my rant. There's another reboot in the system that's being reworked. It's Sabrina the Teenage Witch, man. I mean, come on.
Are they bringing back some of the old characters?
No! No, I put this in there because of you, Silver. I knew that you were interested in this, and I'm very interested in it as well. This is supposed to be the scariest TV show of all time. Like, they are going, they're not, this isn't the lovey-dovey, Melissa Joan Hart. This is going to be something, this is going to take, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer and mix it with, like, depending on what network they go on. Because I think, right now, do they even have a network? Because I thought that they were shopping around for streaming.
Last I heard, Netflix was looking at it, but I'm not sure.
Have it go to Sci-Fi. It'll last one season.
No. Sci-Fi, yeah. Sci-Fi is at the most four and done, even if it's a good series.
Hopefully they bring the cat back. That was the best part of that show.
Like, 14-year-old me. That's the thing that
everybody said. Everybody
Salem,
said,
wasn't it?
Yeah, everybody said they need to bring the cat. But if they're going to go with the twisted thing, view of it, and it, like, I'm just curious. If they bring it on Netflix, we'll see how scary they can go. But they have a lot of competition with other shows that are coming out. Brandon?
CW.
It's going to CW. That's not going to...
From the Riverdale theme. Team.
If it's CW, it's not going to be scary.
Is the one that's
okay, well, okay. I like Riverdale, so...
You know what? Melissa Joan Hart's got to make a cameo on this. That'd be a shame.
You know what this is? This is them trying to recapture. This is them trying to recapture the Supernatural. This is what they're gonna do. They'll do something with this that will probably cross over into Supernatural.
Hilary Duff went to CW. A lot of those girls that were in like that type of era, which Melissa Joan Hart and Hilary Duff, they're all on CW now. That CW just kind of like harnesses all of those. Now they're middle 30s. You know what I mean? So they still fit into what CW is trying to do. They're trying to reach a younger crowd. So
this speaks to both 14-year-old me that grew up watching Sabrina and 25-year-old me that loves horror movies. And I'm very excited. I don't care what network it's on at this point.
If episode one, they kill off Melissa Joan Hart, then I'm in.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
That episode, would be they just, awesome.
She gets strangled. Something happens. Then I'm in.
There's
then I'll
a
watch
new
episode
teenage
two.
Witch in town.
yes, exactly that, Brandon.
Sabrina the Teenage
Oh my
bitch.
God, that's like that would be like Piranha 3D when they do the scene where it's Richard Dreyfuss and he's in his Jaws outfit and then he gets eaten alive by the piranhas and he's just holding up a beer, the last thing before he dies.
Side note, you actually watch Piranha
3D. I own Piranha 3D and Piranha Double D.
Double
okay,
D.
I've never seen a single one.
She said double D's. All right. So on to Gambit. It's found its director, which everybody's been super hyped and pumped about. I'm more super pumped and hyped about what the story base is now, not so much the director.
I know the story sounds amazing. Like the story base is The story base is being said that it's a Marvel take on Ocean's 11. And it's going to be a superhero thing. Like, they have a backstory where there's two feuding families. And Remy falls in love with... He winds up falling in love with this other family member. They decide that they're going to... Basically, they're going to get married. And by doing so, they're going to unite the families. And to get the families to quit feuding, they plan a heist. The heist goes wrong. He's in court. And then eventually... Go on, Brandon.
So this is Romeo and Juliet meets Ocean's 11?
Yes. Yeah. But...
Okay.
It sounds actually really good. Because, I mean, you got mutants with different powers.
But with
powers.
Marvel.
Yeah. And I Gambit's one of my favorite characters.
Remy LeBeau is... Go ahead. No, go ahead, Nick.
I was just going to say the same thing, Chris. Remy LeBeau is the best X-Men. He is my favorite character of all time. Growing up on the original cartoon in the 90s with his bow staff and throwing cards, there's nothing more than I love that they're going to make a Gambit movie. You could tell me the story was them flying to space and fighting Jason X. I don't care. I'm there.
I was actually going to go in the opposite direction on this. I think Remy LeBeau is a support character, and I don't think the movie's going to do very well. He's a support character. Like when he's in X-Men, if you pair him with a big name character, then he shines. He's almost like the Incredible Hulk to me.
I do see that he plays off other characters very well, especially, you know, Rogue, of course, but I'll give it a chance. Anyways, I'm kind of blinded.
Channing Tatum helps.
I love the guy too much.
He does.
A lot.
Correct.
You bring
in
you bring in a female crowd who doesn't even care that this is a comic movie. I'm just talking about people who like Channing Tatum.
Okay. I disagree that it's going to be good with Channing Tatum. Anybody else would be better.
I don't think it's...
The reason why is the movie Jupiter Ascending. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah, I like it.
No, that's terrible.
That movie was
horrible.
I would
never waste my time.
My wife actually likes that one.
The movie was horrible.
But Channing Tatum is a leading guy. This movie wouldn't be made if Channing Tatum didn't pull it out of the dumpster and say, no, this is going to get made. Because he's tried for, is this going on two years
now? He needs a heavy Cajun accent. It's got to be.
He has it. That's where he's from.
Okay.
He's from the bayou?
If you go back and you look at some of the interviews with him, you can hear him do it. That's how he got them originally interested. He came in a full 90s style Gambit costume and said, this is what he needs to look like. He goes, you can't do what you did. He goes, you can't do what you did in Wolverine Origins. This is what Gambit needs to look like. And he came in character, contacts, everything. Came in character, and that's how he delivered it.
This isn't Marvel, right? This is Sony?
This is Marvel.
Ooh.
This is Fox.
All right. Well, it's gotta be Fox. Okay. If this is Fox, then we already know what this movie's going to be. So it's not going to be. It's not Marvelized. So then I guess it will do okay. For Fox, it'll do okay.
He's supposed to be.
Unless they go full old man Logan with this, that type of direction with the movie, I think it's going to flop.
Yep. Same.
I don't think they better not, because that Gambit is being looked to be the new character to be the glue between the new X-Men movies until they reboot Wolverine or bring his son in, which is what they should do. They need to bring in his son.
Flop or no flop, they got my $20.
Oh yeah, same here. They will
bring another X-Men character into this. They have to. They have.
I agree with you, Chris. I don't think we know. Yeah, I don't think we know.
Well, the other thing is, right now the strong rumor is that Daniel Craig is going to be Mr. Sinister, which.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
This could totally go the way of Fantastic Four. I'm just saying.
Oh, don't even say that.
It could totally go Fantastic Four. So
I don't like that at all.
But Fantastic Four is the worst superhero movie.
And this could go totally that way. I don't feel like Remy is a strong enough character. He'd be awesome as an accent character. Like, if you put him in any of the X-Men movies and threw him in when he needed to be, you got to do Marvel Universe or you got to do DC Universe type of crap where you're adding a character into the universe and then they go off and have their own movie as opposed to just, here he is, and having a set. Unless you're doing like the Venom thing, which again, I'm still leery that they're not going to screw that up either. So...
Venom's a hard
By the way,
character.
Jupiter Ascending, which is Channing Tatum in a action fantasy role, 5.3 out of 10
wah, wah.
On IMDb.
Yeah, we all knew that was going to be. As soon as I saw the trailer for that, Brandon, I was like,
no.
I was actually excited for the trailer.
I mean,
when I first watched the trailer, I'm like, man, this might actually be good. And then I went and seen it. I'm like, what the hell did I just watch? Seriously, this is horrible.
It was a missed idea for the Wachowskis. A missed opportunity for the Wachowskis with that. Because it was supposed to be a series. And it stopped at one. It was one and done.
All right. I think we've come to the end of the hype train. The next few weeks is kind of going to be kind of insane. I know we have Stranger Things coming up at the end of the month. We have Walking Dead at the third week. So, you know, you have Walking Dead. We're going to be talking about that immediately. And then we're just going to blaze through Stranger Things. And to be quite honest, I have a feeling that Stranger Things is going to be its own thing. So how we do things, you know, with single seasons of certain shows, Stranger Things is kind of that thing. And I think we'll probably end up doing just a complete episode on Stranger Things just to kind of talk about it and get through it. But those are the things.
As well as our Walking Dead will be posted on Monday.
Posted on Monday, yeah. And I'm pretty hyped about Walking Dead. This season is very pivotal for them to either make or break things, because last season was kind of a very season, and they need to either gain the crowd back or fear of losing them, and we feel like they're going to jump ahead and then kind of shoot back. I don't want to talk, you know, too far ahead, but those are two things I know that I'm looking forward to over the next month.
I just want to say I agree with you on that. I was a little bit disappointed. I'm caught up on the comics, so yeah, I'm with you, Chris.
All right, so where can people find you, Brandon?
You can find me on Twitter at BeefOuts82.
All right. Nick, where can people find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at NickNPDX, all one word.
Silver, where can people find you?
On Twitter at SilverSoulX10.
Awesome. Damien?
You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Damien Nash. And now that I'm a daywalker, actually manning the daytime Geekologist Radio Twitter page.
So all you
minus D for character restrictions.
All you Nighttime folks, you're screwed now.
I actually have to go to bed
in a real time.
I'm actually to put stuff out, though, that's relevant, though. That's the thing. I get it when it's happening. I'm like, hey, that was 30 seconds. I'm like, yes, retweet.
Retweet. And you can find me at Twowolvz, TWOWOLVZZ on Twitter. For Geekologist Radio, we are out.